Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. I was trying to come up with some ideas to factor into the show this week. Knew we'd have Masters stuff to talk about, and we'll punch up a golf guest in our final hour. NBA playoffs could be part of it, too. I said, you know what we haven't done in a couple of weeks? Maybe a month. The biggest sports towns in our country, the major markets that have minimum of three teams, some of them have four. From time to time, you'll find one town that's got basically storylines clicking on at least three of the four fronts, if not all four fronts. So I said, who fits that bill this week? And I looked around and I said, wow, I forgot. The Avalanche are in the Nuggets finished second in the West. Rockies think they're going to be a playoff team again. Shoot, they've been there 2 years running. And oh, by the way, the draft is coming around, and everyone's going to question, what is John Elway going to do at quarterback? That seems to be a recurring question in Denver since their all-time greatest QB came back to run the franchise. So I said, let's get a Denver guy on because they are garnering some pretty good attention both locally and nationally with their sports teams. So Paul Klee from the Colorado Springs Gazette was good enough to come aboard with us today. Paul, Jody Mack here in New York. How are you?
What's going on, Jody? Good to talk to you, man.
My pleasure. How do you determine what the biggest story in your town is at any given time?
It's usually colored orange. That's usually the case. If it's orange, you go cover it. But that's changed. It's different now. You got the Avalanche that are on an ascension. They're on the rise, and the Nuggets playing here tonight. I'm at Pepsi Center now for the first time in 6 years that they've been in the postseason. So, and you mentioned that the Rockies coming off back to back. They look like something else right now. But yeah, it's good. It's good to be a writer in Denver, Colorado right now.
Understood. And you gave me a good answer, but I was hoping or thinking you might say around the water cooler, the local coffee shop, the sports talk radio station in town, the mentions on your website as to who's after you write an article or put out a story that you get that many more mentions than you usually do. Is there any other intrinsic value to being as hot as the Denver teams are right now, any one individual squad?
They haven't taken over from the Broncos yet.
Still Broncos, no matter what. And there are a lot of towns like that where one sport doesn't matter, even if they've been non-competitive. Well, let's be honest, that's the last 2 years for the Broncos. Doesn't matter. They own the town, so it's still football first and everything else falls in line after.
You know, it might surprise some folks, too, because the one that has been able to challenge that was the Avalanche. And it was the Avalanche in the 90s when they won two Stanley Cups and had, you know, a locker room full of future Hall of Famers with Sakic and Forsberg and Waugh and Blake and all those guys. That's the only one that's really been able to kind of take that crown or at least challenge the crown of the Broncos. But if you write something on the possibility of John Elway drafting a quarterback at 10 in this year's draft, and you're going to overwhelm everything else. And that's just coming off, you know, a couple of really, really bad seasons with a bad coaching situation. But it's a Broncos town, man. This is going to take more than a couple playoff appearances to change that.
Okay, fair enough. Then we'll start there. Is John Elway going to take quarterback at number 10, or does he believe Joe Flacco is actually the man?
No, I think it's Flacco. I really do. If I had, you know, $10 out of your wallet, I'd say they're not taking a quarterback at 10. I think they take one further down the draft, maybe in the second or third rounds. But they feel like, and I disagree with this pretty strongly, they feel like they're closer than, you know, the majority does. I think this roster's got a lot of holes that they got to fix before they decide Joe Flacco's the missing link. But they're going to go forward with Flacco, and I think it's going to be a multi-year thing.
All right, Case Keenum wasn't good enough. I thought it was they got kind of caught in between last year, and I thought he was a guy who was worth taking a chance on. Mm-hmm. His production was not good enough. Was it mostly Keenum's fault? Was it the offense? Was it the players and the weapons that he was or wasn't given? Why did the Case Keenum experiment go by the boards as quickly as it did?
Yes to those things. And I was in the boat that it was kind of a, you don't get to an NFC championship game like he did if you can't play a little bit. You know, you may not be the savior here, but maybe you can just kind of carry it until they find one. He wasn't good enough, Jody. He wasn't good enough here. They couldn't run the complete playbook. The locker room was not close to as cohesive as it was when Peyton Manning was here. He didn't get enough help. I think that's a fair assessment, that you have a first-time coach in Vance Joseph who was in over his head his first time around. And maybe he gets another shot, but it was messy here. And some of that was Keenum, some of that was coaching. But the Broncos believe now that they've fixed, or that how they feel they fixed those two spots, that they're going to be able to move forward into the postseason.
Is there any quarterback that Elway specifically likes that you've gotten an inkling on, even if it's not the first round? You said you don't think they're taking someone at 10, which would take, let's say, Kyler Murray and Haskins out of the mix, maybe a Locke out of the mix too. Is there someone that they think they can get in the second round or the third, or a developmental guy? Has there been any whispers out there as to a guy Elway might like later in the draft?
You know, they've been linked to mostly to Drew Locke at Mizzou. And whether that's a smokescreen like we saw last year on several occasions with these guys, I'm not sure. I think that Haskins fits the kind of mold that John Elway likes. And if he were to be there at 10, I'll be honest, Jody, I'll be stunned if the Broncos don't take him, if he falls to 10. He just fits a lot of the different characteristics that they have preferred in the past, and he would be my pick. Now, I would, you know, like I was saying, if I had $10, I'm going to say it's a linebacker because they love this defense, and they think they can squeeze a little bit more juice out of Von Miller and Derek Wolfe and Chris Harris, and that linebacker piece is something that's been missing.
Fair enough. Good analysis from Paul Klee here with us from the Colorado Springs Gazette on CBS Sports Radio. All right, jumping off, you mentioned the Rockies and off to a little bit of a rocky start. That'd be an understatement, 3-12. Two straight years in the playoffs. I'm as big a Bud Black fan as you're going to find. I thought he was a great hire. They did the right thing by extending him this year. What the heck? How are they this bad so early?
Well, they've been hit by everything that you could be hit by. They've lost David Dahl. Charlie Blackman hasn't been completely healthy. They moved out Cargo. They moved out DJ LeMahieu and Gerardo Parra. Those are significant changes, but they did not see this coming. You know, the idea going into this season was to have two guys at the top, Ramon Marquez and Kyle Freeland, who were just nails last season. They were terrific. Freeland was fourth in Cy Young voting. Those two guys haven't been quite as good, but they haven't been the problem. These guys can't hit. And you know what's wild, Jody, is last year, you know, people associate Rockies with bats. Last year's team that made the postseason, first time these guys have gone back-to-back, it was actually the worst offensive team that the Rockies have ever had, and they haven't fixed that going into this year.
And you had Arenado in the middle of that lineup, and they still, you're right, were a less-than-usual Rocky offensive team. All right, you mentioned the Avalanche, that they are the only team, excuse me, that's competed on a Bronco level in that town. Did make the playoffs. Tough 1-8 matchup, lost the opener to the Flames. What kind of shot you give them tonight against Calgary, in Calgary, and getting at least competitive in this series?
Yeah. They felt really good about this series, and that's a departure from last year. They faced the Predators last year in the first round, and Nashville just kind of overwhelmed them. They had too many guys, too much experience, a great goaltender, and the Avs just weren't ready. This matchup, I think, is much more favorable, even though it's the 1-8 again. I think the Avs win tonight. I think they're going to push this thing out to 6 or 7 games. I do think it's going to be a very competitive series. They're going to have to get more shots on goal. Last night just looked like they were being a little too pretty. You know, they were trying to make the sweet pass instead of one just to get on the net. I think the Avs played better tonight, and I think they get back in that thing.
Fair enough. If the Avs advance in the postseason, it'll be a bit of an upset. Not the case with the Nuggets, and I'll be completely honest. I didn't have Denver in the playoffs in the West in my preseason prediction. They finished second in the West, got challenged for it late. Yeah, they actually had their nose in front of Golden State at junctures during the year, but then dropped behind them and even got challenged late to hold on to that second spot. Could have finished third or even down as far as fourth. Finished strong, held on to second, get San Antonio in the first round. That's how good the West is. You would think with a number two seed, you should get an easy mark in the first round, and that's never the case with a Popovich-coached team. How confident is the basketball fan base in that town right now about their Nuggets?
Well, these are Nuggets fans, so confidence comes very gradually. It's not something that you get into the postseason and they think they're going to go to the conference finals. Double down on that, it's the Spurs, who have been the nemesis in this city for 30 years. Think about this, Jody. The Nuggets haven't taken a season series from the Spurs but once in the last 30 years.
Wow.
That's the kind of ownership that San Antonio has had on these guys. So as much as it is about advancing and moving on to play, you know, the next series, the Nuggets should be favored as well. It's kind of exercising those demons against these guys. And, you know, it's a little bit cheesy and cliche, but we don't know which way the Spurs are going. You know, this is a whole new era for the Spurs as well. It's different than what we're accustomed to. So I think these are two teams that are, I'm interested to see if they are going in different directions right now, because the Nuggets are a young and gifted team, but the Spurs have had their number for as long as I can remember.
And one of the things that I liked about the Nuggets, and again, pleasantly surprised with the way they played, seven different players averaging double-digit points per game. Mason Plumlee doesn't score as much, but he goes in, he gets rebounds, he seems to get big baskets for them, and he's not even one of those seven who's averaging double digits for the season. They are a deep team. They're a balanced team. Why do I get the feeling that going into the series, if Jokic has a big series, then they advance? If he doesn't, then you got a war on your hands and you can go seven games. Who's going to match up? Is Aldridge going to play Jokic?
Yeah, they'll throw the kitchen sink at him, because the two times that San Antonio beat the Nuggets, they doubled Nikola Jokic on every occasion. And they frustrated him and they hacked him and they held him. It's interesting, because Popovich has said, he's told us many times, he has this affinity for how Jokic plays. He's a very Spursy type player. You know, he's a great passer. He does all those things really well. And Pop really likes him. And then the game starts and he tells his guys just to hammer him over and over. So that matchup will decide the series. If he plays well, the Nuggets will win in short order, I think, in like five or six games.
What do the Nuggets have to do to make their fan base really believe, yeah, we were the second best team to just get to the Western Conference, not going to jump on that train until they actually earn their way into the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, that's about it. You know, they've been to the Conference Finals three times in their history. San Antonio's been four times in the last 7 years. So it's a pretty big bridge to cross. I think people here have latched on with this team because it's such a likable group. It's the third youngest team in the NBA. They play a fun style. They're enjoyable characters. But first, you got to win a playoff series, because that's what ran George Karl out of town. He wasn't able to advance.
Paul, great stuff. We appreciate you coming on board, sharing for a couple minutes with us tonight. Enjoy what is a good time to be in Denver with your sports squads. Make the most of it. Thanks, bud.
Right on, Jody. Thank you.
Paul Klee from the Colorado Springs Gazette.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.